Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So here you see, he came with a ministry. Remember that he was somewhere in the wilderness, and the Bible tells us all his food was honey and locust. All he was eating was, you know, wilderness of food. No cooked food. Who will cook it for him? God made sure he was not part of the system. He was not corrupted. All he knew was the gospel according to the animal kingdom, according to nature. So he could not preach with high-sounding theological terminologies, but he was delivering his message. And the mountains were coming low, and the hills were coming low. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure what he said was not all recorded, because for people to begin to troop to him, there must have been some serious sermons he was preaching. And he was attracted. He had thus said the Lord. And one thing with God is, if he calls you, he gives you the audience. If he sends you with a message, he gives you the audience. And he knows how to attract the audience. And he must have appeared from nowhere and was challenging the order of the day. It's not the first. It happened in the time of Luther. When it was time for you to know that this is now from God, and at God's own time, nothing can stop it. And Luther from nowhere led the revival that we are still enjoying from that time till now, that protested against the Catholic system. Nobody could try. All those that tried it on their own, they were killed, because it was not yet time. But when it was time, God said, touch not the oil or the wine. Glory be to God. And nobody could touch Luther. Nobody could stop that revival. So it was with John the Baptist. And remember, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And concerning his ministry, in Luke chapter 1, when he was born, from verse 13 to 17. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Are we there? It was concerning his birth. The announcement of his birth. Let me read it from verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing in the right side of the altar to Zechariah now, of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Listen very carefully, you are hearing this for the first time. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Verse 17 is my emphasis. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of what? Of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, if you notice, he was quoting Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6. So the angel was announcing to Zechariah that the person you are giving birth to shall be the fulfillment of Malachi chapter 4. Let's read it. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and verse 6. The prophet said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And verse 6 is what the angel quoted in verse 17 of Luke chapter 1. But he did not quote the whole verse. He quoted only a part of that verse. And he, the Elijah, shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. But the angel did not quote and the heart of the children to their fathers. He only quoted, he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. But he did not quote and the heart of the children to their father, because the Elijah that will turn the heart of the fathers to the children will be different from another Elijah that will turn the heart of the children to the fathers. Oh, I expect you now that understand now to respond. And we understand that today. So you come to verse 17 again, Luke chapter 1. You see where he quoted, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And he quoted that. That lets you know that Elijah will not come physically, but somebody will come in that same grace, in that same anointing. And John the Baptist, is the angel is telling Zechariah, he will fulfill it. So we see in Matthew chapter 11, let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Amen. Let me read it from verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea. This is Jesus saying, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Your question is, you didn't see him making any inquiry for anybody. Verse 10. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. Another scripture that was lying there until Jesus Christ came and quickened it. And that is in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's go there and we come back here again for the purpose of Bible study. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Malachi, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. This verse is speaking of two people. My messenger before me. Hallelujah. Let's look at it again. Two people. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. That messenger is John the Baptist. And the Lord whom you seek, that God that you have been looking for, you have been serving, shall suddenly come to his temple. And Jesus Christ is that temple. And he described who that temple is. He is also the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. And you know, that prophecy was fulfilled when Christ was baptized by John the Baptist. John the Baptist asked, he was to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to baptize him. John the Baptist saw him. Amen. And he knew who he was. How did he know who he was? God told him, Your ministry is to introduce him. You are to introduce the Christ, the Messiah. That person that you will see the Spirit of God descend upon him like a dove. He said, he is the one. So he was preaching one day and he saw Jesus Christ in the crowd, sitting there very humbly, waiting to be introduced. And a pillar of fire came upon him. And he saw that dove upon him. On the wings of a snow white dove, God sent down his love, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove. And he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now he's baptizing, and that same man is coming to be baptized. He said, ha! Yeah, you are the one to baptize me, and I'm not worthy to baptize you. And what did Jesus say? Suffer it to be so now. To fulfill what? All righteousness. Are you not the one that say, I am a lamb that taketh away the sin of the world? Don't you know that before the lamb is sacrificed to atonement of sin, the lamb is clean and washed? I have come for washing so that I can go for the sacrifice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. To fulfill all righteousness. And as he didn't know that Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 was to be fulfilled. Behold, I send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. That is John the Baptist. As he was preparing the way and baptizing the people unto repentance, the temple of God came. Hallelujah. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And then, as he came out of the water, the windows of heaven opened. The Spirit of God, the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come into his temple. Hallelujah. He received the fullness of the Godhead, came inside of him. From that day, he became Emmanuel. I know there's a lot of argument, especially from the intermediate believers. Jesus is the Almighty God, and they want to make it look as if Mary born God. Mary did not born God. How can you born your maker? How can you deliver your maker? He said it's a mystery. It's because you don't understand it. He said sacrifices and burnt offerings, that would not, but a body have I prepared me. It was the tabernacle of God that Mary gave birth to. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And a voice announced to the whole world, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Praise the Lord. Let's continue Matthew chapter 11. For this is he, verse 10, of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. See where I am going. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. This is where I am going. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is the Elijah, Elias, which was for to come. He that has ear to hear, let him hear. If you can receive it, praise the Lord. So, if the Bible says he is a prophet, we now know how he became a prophet. He had a task, a ministry. He had thus said the Lord. He was sent by God. And this, I want to use this opportunity, and I thank God that I can have this opportunity to say this. Why do we say, somebody asked a question. One of the critics of the ministry of William Branham, he said, show us one prophecy that William Branham gave, listen very well, before it happened, and tell us when it came to pass. Including the seven visions that William Branham gave. That said the Lord told him they will come to pass before the rapture. If you notice very well, in that prophecy, he said the Lord revealed to him in 1933. And he was giving it out in 1950. After all of them, except two, had come and gone. So critic, we say, how do we use that to say you are a prophet? And the truth is, somebody sent it to me, and I sent it to all the message people. I said, can you help me find one? Instead of replying, they will be abusing those critics. I said, be objective now. If there is, say it. And if there is not, tell them there is not. The truth about it is this. What made William Branham a prophet is the same thing that made John the Baptist a prophet. It's the same thing that made Moses a prophet. It is not prophecy. It is not vision. It is not healing and deliverance. That is the mistake many of us are making. And when you don't understand the ministry of William Branham, you will go in the error that many of them have gone in today. I have been saying it. I say, there is nothing new, no new revelation that William Branham brought. Mention one new revelation William Branham brought. Everything William Branham preached has been preached before, including the seven seals, including the Godhead, including water baptism and all the rest, predestination, eternal security, and everything else. People don't know why he is called a star messenger for this age. It's not because of mighty miracle signs and wonders. It is not because Moses parted the Red Sea. That's why he was a prophet. The parting of the Red Sea was to enable him fulfill his ministry of taking the people away from Egypt to the promised land. Moses' ministry was not to part the Red Sea. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. When we see our eyes of understanding as we open, some people took the sermon books of William Branham and blinded themselves. They bore. Here's a few. I preached one time and I compared William Branham's statement. The statement of the Lord Jesus, and I applied it. I applied it to the ministry of William Branham. I said that Jesus Christ said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And from the answer, he said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I say, for you to be in the restoration ministry, you must also understand what the ministry of William Branham is. Upon that rock, you will remain free from the denominational spirit. If not, you will only be jumping from one denomination without sermon book to another denomination with sermon book of William Branham. How can people understand that ministry and be worshiping William Branham? And John the Baptist ministry, I say, the same way he called John is the same way I say he also called William Branham. So let's look at John. After John finished his ministry of turning the hearts of the religious fathers to these people that are now being exalted from their valleys of spiritual level, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they sit in uppermost seats, prepare their place, the Bible call it, with phylacteries, and then their garments enlarge the borders of their garment, and then they love to be called rabbi, title, super title, archbishop, Pharisee. Then one man from nowhere, school, you know, go. From nowhere. We are going to be in church. You don't even get church. Where they go? And then he's rubbishing them. And then before you know what? Hallelujah. The same thing also. He had a ministry to point people to Christ. And one of his disciples, John the Baptist, had disciples. John the Baptist had disciples. One of them had him saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." Had John the Baptist pointing to Jesus. The Bible says the disciples turned and followed Jesus. We know here he go back to John again. Did he abandon John? No, he responded to the John ministry. You don't understand me. That is evidence he had him. I wish I can have opportunity to talk to these message believers around the world. But I know God will cause his elect among them to hear me one way or the other. Hallelujah. Say, any other person that prophesies is wrong. Only William Branham can prophesy. Until my brother there, in a program they went to somewhere in Trinidad, and he's saying that nobody else can make do discernment. Only the prophet William Branham has that gift. And you know, that is his understanding. And then they are there to promote William Branham. And I had the son of William Branham, Joseph Branham. I had him. In a tape, he went somewhere in Russia. He was getting the people preaching there. He said that God told the prophets that if you will get the people to believe him, if you will get the people to believe him, William Branham. I read it too. Many of you have read it. He said, not even cancer will withstand his prayers. And Joseph Branham is saying, what did God tell William Branham? If he will get the people to believe him. Now, when you hear them preaching like that, they are about to take a quote, something William Branham said, and twist it to their selfish agenda. Anytime you hear them say, they will start by saying, you believe the prophet? Do you believe him? I believe him. He is this. He is that. Anytime they talk like that, I say, They want to talk something. Well, I'm answering your question, but using this opportunity to also line up some things. Listen, church. In this age of apostasy, many shall depart from the faith. The Bible says so. Give heed to seducing spirits. In this age, listen, church. I am a fanatical follower of the ministry of William Branham. And I, every day I thank God for a man that yielded himself in this age for God to use and show us the way. If you are sincere, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot come now. In the confusion that we are in, it's because you don't understand something about the church. See, Jesus Christ gave several examples to give us a picture of how the church will look like and how it should be. He speaks about a seed that is planted in Mark chapter 4 from verse 26. That parable there is talking about the church. After the farmer plants that seed, he goes his way. The next time he's coming, what is he coming for? It's for harvest. But how does he know it is time for harvest? It is when he sees the seed that was planted formed again. The seed that was planted that produced the Christian faith today is what we see after the Acts of Apostles. The upper room experience in Acts chapter 2 and the book of Acts and the whole New Testament gives you a picture of how the true church was. But there is a principle that seed that planted must die first. And it died at Nicaea, according to church history. That is when that prophecy that Pastor Francis was referring to this morning. Matthew 13 verse 33. The woman that took 3 measures of meal, took leaven with 3 measures of meal, mixed them up until the whole meal was corrupted. That meal is the meal of the unadulterated word of God. It was adulterated with false doctrine. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. And from then on, the confusion started. But that seed began to grow again. Just like the plant as planted grows. We have the Luther that jumped out. That was the beginning of life coming in. So that you'll understand why the rapture has not taken place. Until, hallelujah, we come to an age where all manner of confusion is going on. The church that was one faith, one baptism, one love, one doctrine. Is there any doctrine here that Apostle Paul, did Apostle Paul have a different denomination? He had his own church with his own headquarters, with his own teaching and article of faith, different from Peter, different from James, different from Jude. Why then do we have today deeper life, Catholic, Anglican, Trusy, and everyone? And every one of them, they are known by unique doctrines they believe. And people are forgetting that the same setting that necessitated John the Baptist coming is the same setting that the church is now. They had their own denomination, holding on to the same one law of Moses. Pharisees, the zealots, the Pharisees and the rest. You know all of them. And they are all waiting for the coming Messiah. They have to be united to receive him. There needed to be a ministry that will call the attention back to the word. And in this confusion that is going on, God raise a man in this age with one message, one message. The message is, come out of her, come out of confusion, come back to Bible Christianity. And it is thus said the Lord. That is what makes him a prophet. He's not the healing. He's not the pillar of fire. He's not the cloud, mystery cloud. He's not the vision he was seeing. He had a message from God. Thus say the Lord. The first Elijah, the Elijah for the Jews, there must be Elijah also for the church. Because the same setting in the natural Israel is what we see in the spiritual Israel called the church. Any other thing you ascribe to William Branham, you are missing it. And devil will make sure you miss it. And take note. Those with such ministries, they don't last long. For a reason. So that they will not mess it up. You have only one message. You don't give and finish. You don't give and finish. You don't give and finish. Come up hither. And that's the reason why God took William Branham away. And people are saying all manner of things. They don't understand it. But he had delivered the message. And we have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are.
What we are raised up for, praise the Lord, for the original
life. Original Christian faith. What did he do? He came to tell us one message. All this thing all of you believe is in the Bible. It should be in the church. You are tearing yourself apart because of the revelation of Godhead. You oneness people is in the Bible. God is one, not three. You are correct. But you deny the power. You don't have the gifts. You are speaking against the gifts. And those of you who are Trinitarians, you believe in the manifestation of the Spirit. It's in the Bible. You are correct. You Baptists, you believe in baptism, water baptism. You are correct. You, what do you call them? The Episcopals and the Church of Christ and the, what do you call these other people, Presbyterian. You believe in predestination and eternal security. You are correct, but you are denying the other part of the gospel. And he came. He said the bride of Christ in this age will be a world bride. Everything the denominations believe, we are going to gather them together into one cost-balanced diet. And when a church is formed, a time that you see a group of people coming back, when you see them, you see another Acts of Apostle in action. When you see them, Bible is their absolute. When you see them, what the Bible say is what they will say. That is why he said the Spirit and the bride say, come. They are united. What the Holy Ghost said is what they are saying. Man-made doctrines, they will not be part of it. Where they will allow the movement of the Holy Ghost, the freedom of the Holy Ghost, man or woman, taking their position, taking their place. Holiness is preached there. Respect is preached there. Everybody standing on the word. Not people running after man of God, running after pastors, running after prophets. When you see a group of people form like that and have a perfect understanding of this Bible, then the harvest is near. That is why we say, you can never be in the rapture if you don't believe this end time message. Because that is why he sent us a prophet. What is this message? Prophet Moses, what is your message? Moses, Pharaoh, let my people go. John the Baptist, what is your message? Eh? What is his message? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin. This is your place of escape. That is him there. It's not just your animal that they kill every day. God has prepared himself a sacrifice. See him here. No other message. William Branham, what is your message? Come out of her, my people, and come back to the world. That is what makes them a prophet. And that is where you separate the false prophet from the true prophets. When he said many prophets shall arise, you are understanding it now. I don't finish. Stand up. Oh, glory be to God.